Forgotten Voices of the Great War. Program 1. The Opening Shots. In the glorious sunshine of June 1914, everyone tried to put all thoughts of war aside. But within weeks, millions of men were on the march. Following the assassination of the heir to the Austrian throne in Sarajevo on June the 28th, Austria and Germany declared war on Russia and France. And on the 4th of August, the awesome German army, hoping to sweep down into Paris, marched into neutral Belgium. Britain, in accordance with treaty obligations and alarmed by the possible threat to the balance of power, declared war against Germany that same day. Frank Sumter was at Harwich with the 1st Battalion of the Rifle Corps.
And then orders came out, and I was ordered to go to Parkinson Key, Harwich, as guard of honour to Prince Lichnowsky, the German ambassador, because he hadn't left the country then. So we went to Harwich, and the sergeant major came along, lined up the troops to give the present arms, and the sergeant major looked at me, he said, "Not you," he said, "not you," he said, "you're too young, get back." So I had a bird's eye view of it, and I saw all the embassy staff, saw that at the beginning of the First World War, and at the end of the First World War, because I had the 1914 star, I was posted to Dover as guard of honour to the unknown warrior when they brought him in. So that was two unique experiences.
Now, the main body of the British Army was being shipped to France. But unlike the French and German forces, recruited by mass conscription, the British had only a small professional army of volunteers. They could muster little over 700,000 men. The German Kaiser disdainfully referred to the British Expeditionary Force, or the BEF as it was widely known, as a contemptible little army. Later, mockingly and proudly, the BEF referred to themselves as the Old Contemptibles. By the end of August, the French had some 3 million men reporting for duty, while Germany had over 4 million soldiers either fully prepared or in training. Thousands of young men like William Dove, Tom Mackindoe, and Reginald Hayne were caught up in the spirit of the times.
War had been declared, and the following Sunday I went with a friend of mine into Shepherd's Bush Empire to see the picture show there, and at the end of the show they showed the fleet sailing the high seas and played Britons Never Shall Be Slaves and Hearts of Oak. And you know, one feels that little shiver run up their back, and you know you've got to do something. I was just turned 17 at the time, and on the Monday I went up to Whitehall, new old Scotland Yard, and enlisted in the 16th Lancers.
Seeing the picture of Kitchener, the finger was always pointing to you. A wonderful poster, really, and I think it assisted recruitment. Well, I was always a tall and fairly fit lad, and when I confronted the recruiting officer, he said that I was too young, although I'd said that I was 18 years of age. He said, "Well, I think you're too young, son." He said, "You come back." He said, "Come back another year or so." He didn't believe what I said, and I returned home. I never said anything to my parents, and I picked up my bowler hat, which my mother had bought me, and which was...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?